Today is the 27th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Welcome back around the global campfire. It's great to see you. Great to be here with you today. Eager for our next step forward. Every step leads us a step further. And that's how things get, that's how things get done. A step at a time. And we are taking steps through the scriptures and through life together in this safe oasis that we create every day called the Global Campfire. Glad to be here. Let's jump in. We are in the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel is the telling of King David's reign and life. And, man, we've been watching David have kind of immaculate character. Wise beyond his years. Has deep character that the people can see. And then all of a sudden, like he doesn't just move in a poor choice direction. He just jumps into the deep end of the most devastating, catastrophic a betrayal, trauma, possibly he takes another man's wife, one of his 30 most loyal soldiers, and she becomes pregnant, and he tries to cover it up, but is unsuccessful, and so to ultimately kind of cover it up, he has her husband, his name is Uriah, killed in battle. So he's killed in battle, he has an honorable death, but it's an intentional death. And, man, hard to think, I mean, maybe there are a few handful of things that we could think of that are equivalent or lower or whatever, if you can even have a scale once we get to the bottom of the barrel like this. But this is like, you know, about as bad as it goes. And so as we pick up the story, this is how David has dealt with the situation. And we're just kind of sitting there to see if his, you know, the way he worked out things actually works. 2 Samuel chapter 12. So the Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to David, Nathan said, "There were two men in a certain city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except for a little lamb he had acquired. He raised it, and it grew up alongside him and his children. It used to eat his food, drink from his cup, and sleep in his arms. It was just like a daughter to him. When a traveler arrived at the rich man's home, he did not want to use one of his own sheep or cattle to feed the traveler who had come to visit him. Instead, he took the poor man's lamb and cooked it for the man who had come to visit him." Then David became very angry at this man. He said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die because he committed this cold-hearted crime. He must pay for the lamb four times over." Nathan said to David, "You are that man. This is what the Lord God of Israel has said. I chose you to be king over Israel, and I rescued you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and put your master's wives into your arms. I also gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all that somehow seems insignificant, I would have given you so much more as well. Why have you shown contempt for the Lord's decrees by doing evil in my sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and you have taken his wife to be your own wife. You have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. So now the sword will never depart from your house. For you have despised me by taking the wife of Uriah the Hittite as your own. This is what the Lord has said. I am about to bring disaster on you from inside your own household. Right before your eyes, I will take your wives and hand them over to your companion. He will go to bed with your wives in broad daylight. Although you have acted in secret, I will do this thing before all Israel and in broad daylight. Then David exclaimed to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied to David, Yes, and the Lord has forgiven your sin. You are not going to die. Nonetheless, because you have treated the Lord with such contempt in this matter, the son who has been born to you will certainly die. Then Nathan went to his home. The Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and the child became very ill. Then David prayed to God for the child and fasted. He would even go and spend the night lying on the ground. The elders of his house stood over him and tried to lift him from the ground, but he was unwilling and refused to eat food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. But the servants of David were afraid to inform him that the child had died, for they said, While the child was still alive, he would not listen to us when we spoke to him. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He will do himself harm. When David saw that his servants were whispering to one another, he realized that the child was dead. So David asked his servants, Is the child dead? They replied, Yes, he's dead. So David got up from the ground, bathed, put on oil, and changed his clothes. He went to the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then, when he entered his palace, he requested that food be brought to him, and he ate. His servant said to him, What is this that you have done? While the child was still alive, you fasted and wept. Once the child was dead, you got up and ate food. He replied, While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept because I thought, Perhaps the Lord will show pity and the child will live. But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Am I able to bring him back at this point? I will go to him, but he cannot return to me. So David comforted his wife Bathsheba. He came to her and went to bed with her. Later, she gave birth to a son, and David named him Solomon. Now the Lord loved the child, and sent word through Nathan the prophet that he should be named Jedidiah for the Lord's sake. So Joab fought against Rabbah of the Ammonites and captured the royal city. Joab then sent messengers to David saying, I have fought against Rabbah and have captured the water supply of the city. So now assemble the rest of the army and besiege the city and capture it. Otherwise, I will capture the city and it will be named for me. So David assembled all the army and went to Rabbah and fought against it and captured it. He took the crown of their king from his head. It was gold, weighed about 75 pounds, and held a precious stone. And it was placed on David's head. He also took from the city a great deal of plunder. He removed the people who were in it and made them labor with saws, iron picks, and iron axes, putting them to work at the brick kiln. This was his policy with all the Ammonite cities. Then David and all the army returned to Jerusalem. John 16. I have told you all these things so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. Yet a time is coming when the one who kills you will think he is offering service to God. They will do these things because they have not known the Father or me. But I have told you these things, so that when their time comes, you will remember that I told you about them. I did not tell you these things from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking me, 'Where are you going?' Instead, your hearts are filled with sadness because I have said these things to you, but I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I am going away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but will speak whatever he hears, and will tell you what is to come. He will glorify me, because he will receive from me what is mine, and will tell it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what is mine, and will tell it to you. In a little while, you will see me no longer. Again, after a little while, you will see me. And some of his disciples said to one another, 'What is the meaning of what he is saying? In a little while you will not see me. Again, after a little while you will see me.' And because I am going to the Father." So they kept on repeating, "What is the meaning of what he says? In a little while. We do not understand what he is talking about." Jesus could see that they wanted to ask him about these things, so he said to them, "Are you asking each other about this? But I said, 'In a little while you will not see me. Again, after a little while you will see me.' I tell you this solemn truth. You will weep and wail, but the world will rejoice. You will be sad, but your sadness will turn into joy. When a woman gives birth, she has distress because her time has come. But when her child is born, she no longer remembers the suffering because of her joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. At that time you will ask me nothing. I tell you the solemn truth. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive it, so that your joy may be complete. I have told you these things in obscure figures of speech. A time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in obscure figures, but will tell you plainly about the Father. At that time you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered into the world, but in turn I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." His disciples said, "Look, now you are speaking plainly and not in obscure figures of speech. Now we know that you know everything and do not need anyone to ask you anything. Because of this, we believe that you have come from God." Jesus replied, "Do you now believe? Look, a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each one to his own home, and I will be left alone. Yet I am not alone, because my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. in the world, you have trouble and suffering. But take courage. I have conquered the world. Psalm 119, 65 through 80. Tet. You are good to your servants, O Lord, just as you promised. Teach me proper discernment and understanding, for I consider your commands to be reliable. Before I was afflicted, I used to stray off, but now I keep your instructions. You are good, and you do good. Teach me your statutes. Arrogant people smear my reputation with lies, but I observe your precepts with all my heart. Their hearts are calloused, but I find delight in your law. It was good for me to suffer, so that I might learn your statutes. The law you have revealed is more important to me than thousands of pieces of gold and silver. Yod. Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding so that I might learn your commands. Your loyal followers will be glad when they see me, for I find hope in your word. I know, Lord, that your regulations are just. You disciplined me because of your faithful devotion to me. May your loyal love console me, as you promised your servant. May I experience your compassion so I might live, for I find delight in your law. May the arrogant be humiliated, for they have slandered me, but I meditate on your precepts. May your loyal followers turn to me, those who know your rules. May I be fully committed to your statutes, so that I might not be ashamed. Proverbs 16, 4 and 5. The Lord has worked everything for his own ends, even the wicked for the day of disaster. The Lord abhors every arrogant person. Rest assured that they will not go unpunished. Okay, so 2 Samuel. David is confronted by the prophet Nathan over killing Uriah the Hittite and taking his wife Bathsheba to be his wife. He had already done it. She was already pregnant. He couldn't achieve a cover-up. So one of his 30 most elite loyal warriors is dead just to protect a king from this kind of scandal. Nathan tells David a story that enrages the king, who doesn't realize that it's like a parable. It's like a camouflaged version of his own story. And when Nathan reveals the truth, oh my gosh, it hits David smack between the eyes and smack in the middle of his heart. He collapses in repentance as the gravity. He's been walking around on all this adrenaline and anxiety, trying to just sort out how to cover this all up, and the shame and the guilt. And now the full weight of it is on him. And it washes over him. And the baby does not live. And that is kind of the beginning of a really, really dramatic shift that we should pay attention to from this point forward. I mean, we watched Saul the whole way through, and we saw his character, and we could find ourselves, but we learned a lot. And then we saw David, I mean, kind of killing it. Like, man after God's own heart, killing it, trusting God to stay alive. And man, how the mighty have fallen. He falls to the utter depths here. And this causes his children to lose all respect for him. And his authority within his household, is damaged just irreparably. Like, it will never be the same again. So David's king. He still worships and is a man after God's own heart till he dies. He does repent here. And so he, you know, continues to reign and move forward with kind of this limp, but that does not actually absolve him of justice or of the consequences of his choices. And maybe it would have played out different had he been a commoner and not the king. Different kind of justice. But we'll see. David's house, his household, is never the same from this point forward. And it gets intense. Real, real intense. And we'll see that in the coming days. And then the Gospel of John. Continuing through Jesus speaking final words to his friends at the Last Supper, the last recorded conversation found in the Gospels before he is arrested. And he says, I've told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith, because you're going to get expelled and kicked out of the synagogues. The time will come when those who kill you will think they're doing service to God. Wow, I mean, how true those words were and are, beginning with Jesus, right? Because they think they're doing this service to God, this blend of envy and blasphemy, like they are just whipping it up to get rid of Jesus. Throughout history, followers of Jesus have been subjected to appalling persecutions. Even in our own lifetimes, we've seen brutality, like unthinkable brutality, happen in the world. And those who put Jesus to death continued in that tradition, thinking they were honoring God. And there are still those today who still feel that way. So maybe let's take a second to think about the freedom that we have, that we just take for granted. As we just wrestle through life and try to deepen our relationship with God. It's mixed in with that gratitude. We must consider the plea and actually cry out to God for our persecuted brothers and sisters who would consider the freedoms that we have to be the very kingdom of God itself. So may we pray for the persecuted church. They may feel comfort in knowing that they're not forgotten. And Jesus goes on to say something really important. Something that we kind of call out to often. He said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He'll bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. So this Spirit of truth Jesus is referring to is what we know as the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God that is within us and will lead us into all truth. But we have to ask ourselves, how much truth are we willing to take, and how much truth are we actually seeking? To be honest, because, man, the truth is the truth, and it is indifferent to your feelings. But it is the truth, and it does bring reality. It does bring the real thing, the real deal. A lot of the time, we just want our cake and eat it too. want to enjoy, you know, walking in the light and truth, but, you know, we got a few things in the shadows here and there that we're not going to face. A few things kind of over there in the dark that we really don't want to be exposed. I guess hiding isn't, that's not going to make us like Jesus. Even though this is a lifelong battle, we have to struggle to be true and walk in the light if we're going to walk in the way, if we're going to follow the way, the path that Jesus modeled for us, and in any way become like him. And Jesus said, I've told you all this so that you could have peace in me, because here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we read those words and can kind of feel the truth in them. We do face trials and sorrows in this world, and there are times that we become profoundly overwhelmed by them. But Jesus is telling us that there is a peace that the world can't give, and so it can't take. Because this peace can only be found within an intertwined relationship with God. And so, well, may we take heart. May we experience and take joy and take peace. Jesus has overcome the world, and if this is true, then through him, so can we. That's how we do it as well. It's the Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth. Lead us into all truth. We ask this continually because Jesus said that you would, and we need it. We need to orient ourselves to the truth continually, that we might walk a narrow path that leads to life. And we do pray for our brothers and sisters that are in persecuted regions of this world in ways that we cannot even imagine. Being marginalized in ways that we wouldn't understand. I remember being in Bethlehem, which is a Palestinian city, and talking to my brother in the Lord, who carved olive wood. He carved like olive wood figurines, sold them. Beautiful craftsman. Just asking, what can we... who are so free, what can we do? How can we help? How can we pray? I remember being told, just don't forget that we're here. And so we cry out to you, Lord, for those who do not have what we take for granted, and really would consider this freedom to be like the kingdom of God as compared to how they have to function. We pray for mercy. Pray for endurance. Pray for grace, breakthrough. We pray for strength. We pray for joy unspeakable in the face of it all. Peace, courage. We pray for resources from unexpected places and kindness where violence was expected. We remember our brothers and sisters we may never know or even know about, but that we will one day know all about. Protect them, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi, my beautiful dad fam. It's Asia calling from the City of Angels. It is May 24th, and I am calling in to lift up some of the prayer requests. Let's go right before our Father's throne of grace. Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy beautiful, holy, and reverential name, Lord God. You are the all God. You are the all-knowing, the all-seeing, the all-sovereign, the all-faithful, the all-holy, the all-love God. And we are so grateful to be your people, that we are called the children of God. Lord, hallelujah, we are so grateful. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come before you and we lift up the needs of the saints. Father God, we know these trials and tribulations are so hard in life, and yet we want to persevere, Father God. So we are praying for their perseverance. We are praying for Manita from Illinois, her daughter-in-law's father, Joshua. He is having a brain procedure done, Lord God. His brain is bleeding. He's suffering things like loss of balance and really struggling right now, Lord God. We ask that you would please heal him, Father God, in your infinite mercy and grace, Lord God. Restore him, Lord God. He's only 65, Father. We just pray more life for him, if that's your plan for him, Father. Lord, we are praying over the gentleman who called over his marriage. He's, Father God, we could hear the desperation in his voice, Lord God. We're praying that you would restore their marriage, and they would both be able to let go of a broken cycle, and they would rebuild in you a strong foundation, Father, of love and faithfulness to one another, Lord. And Lord, we're praying for Anthony, who is suffering from stage 4 cancer and also has to bury his daughter. Lord, give him the strength, please, now in this season, this time that he needs you. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Good morning, tribe. This is Brian in Roxborough. I've just been introduced to this daily audio Bible campfire. I'm currently listening to the month of January and working my way forward. And I wanted to use this platform to ask for your prayers. I have 3 beautiful children, and my daughter, who's now 22, has separated herself from me over financial reasons. I tried to coach her on how to spend money, and she's got some other issues. She's also an alcoholic who is now recovering and has been sober for quite some time. She's doing some good things in the world, but I long for our relationship. She was spending frivolously while I was funding her college, and I spoke up and she took it as non-support and has dropped all contact with me. I pray quite often, not as much as I should, but I'm getting better at it, that God would restore our relationship and bring forgiveness into her heart, because I love her with all my heart and soul, and this is just draining me. So I ask for your prayers. Open her heart to God, open her heart to me, and bring her back into my life. I miss her desperately. Keep listening. I'm quickly falling in love with this group. Thank you all.
Hey, my name is Eyes Malone in Missouri. I've been listening since 2011. I'm calling for my husband. He was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's on May 10th of 2021, and we've been dealing with it for several years prior to that. We have a newly graduated son as well. And I'm calling because I'm praying for healing for my husband, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And I'm praying for my son. He seems like he is struggling with this and I'm worried about him greatly because he's turning to alcohol, and I am very concerned. But I also need prayer for myself. I work full time, and I'm also the only one taking care of my husband. Ask for healing for my family. Ask for healing for my son with his heart, because I know his heart is breaking. And ask for healing for my husband. Healing on this earth, because in my opinion, I feel that the glory of God can shine because of his healing. Thank you for your prayers, and God bless you all. I love you so much. Goodbye.
Hey, Dab family. This is Kristen, a.k.a. Christ in Me. I wanted to lift up a prayer for Teresa and her family. Hi. Especially for those two children that Teresa's aunt left behind. I understand the pain of losing a mom. I lost my mom when I was a teenager, and I just especially want to pray for those kids. Lord, I just lift up Teresa's family to you. I lift up all of the people that lives were touched by Jessica. Lord, I just ask that you would just give them comfort and peace during this time of grief over the loss of this of the aunt and the mama and the daughter. I just pray, Lord, especially that you would just be there for those two little kids that have lost their mama, that you would make a way to send women in their path that would fill the hole that was left behind by the loss of their mother. People that will comfort them and guide them and love on them. But I just pray for this whole family. I'm so saddened to hear this news. Lord, I just thank you that you are what you're doing in their lives, and I thank you that you are there for them and that you are comforting them. I just pray all of this in your mighty, matchless name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hello, family. This is from Junk to Treasure. It is Sunday, the day before Memorial Day, and I talked to my daughter, Glowworm, on the phone. This is the very first time she has expressed that she's sorry she moved away. She's been living in Michigan for many years now. And, well, since 2018, I think. And she is sorry that she moved. But the circumstances are they just don't have a home to come to, a job for her lifelong partner she's had for many years to have a job. I just ask you to pray fervently that God orchestrates the situation for a home big enough for her and the six kids and a job that he can go to and doctors for her youngest that has so many developmentally delays. She's homesick and I'm sick for her being gone so long. I miss my kids so much. So if you can pray for this, I would so much appreciate you all lifting this to the throne of grace.
Good morning, Dabbers. This is Deneen, a.k.a. His Beauty for My Ashes. I wanted to call in and just ask for prayer for my family. Some time ago, I called and spoke about my father having cancer. 21st of May, he passed away. we're in the midst of planning his homegoing. So I just ask you, Lord, just to keep us covered, God, comfort us. I pray, Lord, that you would be with my mother and you would just be her strength. And Lord, I thank you for my father. He was such a blessing in my life. And I am so grateful that you lent him to me for a little while. And this is in Jesus' name I pray. Dad, thank you for being this place of comfort, wisdom, and just the closeness of everyone being on here. I appreciate this app so much. And I love you guys. Thanks.